Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. And this is Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We're going to talk Mississippi State and Ole Miss with you for the next half hour or so. It's game weekend, Logan. This is game week. Saturday is the season opener for both these schools. I know Ole Miss is ready to get on the field for a number of reasons, but I imagine Mississippi State is pretty excited to get going too.
Yeah, and I'm excited to get going because I haven't seen the team in about a month. So I want to see what they've got, you know, I really haven't seen them do any team formations since the spring game. So I'm ready to see what this team's all about and, maybe even get a depth chart. You know, last week I was happy because we finally got a roster with the media, but, still no depth chart. So I think they're going to hand those out right before kickoff. So I'm ready to find out what all the mystery is all about.
Well, maybe, Logan, they've been kind of quiet on the depth chart. Maybe that depth chart's going to really mean something when it comes out. You know, depth charts, they're mostly fiction when they come out on Monday at the beginning of the week. So, certain guys you know are going to be there, and you can't put a whole lot of stock in depth charts. But maybe if they're going to hand them out just before kickoff, that depth chart will mean something.
Possibly. You know, like I said, if I could, you know, take a look at the team, I could probably put together my own depth chart. But since it's been about a month, I've kind of pieced together, you know, maybe who's starting and who's on that depth chart just based by, you know, what the coaches and players are telling us. But until they trot out there Saturday, I'm not going to know for sure.
Well, fortunately, the games are still open to the media. Practices are closed, but games are still open. So you get to watch them with everybody else. Let's, before we get into MSU at Ole Miss, folks, I want to remind you about a couple of podcasts to check out for the Daily Journal. Be sure to look for The Memo, our news podcast. That's with Derek Russell and Chris Kiefer, coming to you every Wednesday and Friday, all things Northeast Mississippi. And check out Prep Rally with Dalton Middleton for your high school sports needs. That comes to you every Wednesday. And Logan and I are here with you for Double Coverage. Usually on a Thursday, sometimes on a Friday, kind of depends on what's going on. Football season is a little more stable in that regard, Logan. I do like that from the scheduling standpoint. But let's jump into the Bulldogs, man. Tell us what you expect to see against Charleston Southern Saturday afternoon. 3:00 kickoff, is that right?
That is correct, right in the heat of the day. But looking at the forecast, I don't think it's going to be quite as hot as you normally would think, you know, a September 2nd. Would be in Starkville, but, one player you don't expect to see Saturday is Malik Deer. Announced last week that Malik, you know, suffered the ACL tear back in the spring. He's not going to be available for at least the first couple of games. They haven't made a decision, whether he's going to play or not this season. He has been able to do a little bit of running on the side, but hasn't been able to take any contact or anything like that. So, yeah, he does have a redshirt year available. He played as a true freshman 2 years ago, so That's a possibility. Another player that you don't know if you're going to see on Saturday is JUCO transfer Chauncey Rivers, the defensive end from EMCC. The NCAA, as of this morning, still hasn't put anything out on their waiver to clear him academically. I mean, they cleared him back in January to enroll at Mississippi State, but haven't cleared him to play football. So we're still waiting to find out if he's going to be out there on Saturday, if he's going to be a member of this year's team, or if he's going to have to sit out like his MCC teammate Brian Cole as a academic redshirt. So that's still up in the air. They're hoping to find out something before Saturday because, you know, if not, he's not going to be able to dress, not going to be able to play on Saturday. So, you know, they're hoping to find out where one way or the other before Saturday goes. And, that's kind of a couple of guys that, you know, are kind of up in the air right now. You know, the redshirt, the freshman, you know, who plays as the true freshman is always a big concern, you know, or a big question, you know, going into the season opener. You know, right now, Dan Mullen talked about two players on Monday during his press conference that could potentially play as true freshmen. And that's Tucker Day, the punter slash kicker that they've got. He was an All-American punter last year. Obviously, Mississippi State's pretty set at punter with Logan Cook. But they need a place kicker, and he did a little bit of that in high school, and they're going to ask him to take that role on this year. He's one of four guys competing for that place kicker job. So that's one of the big question marks is who's going to be the kicker. And Dan Mullen said that that could possibly go up until pregame warmups, just maybe who does the best in pregame warmups. And you know, Tucker Day, Jordan Lawless, Dan Mills, and Jace Chrisman are the guys competing for that spot. Day's the only guy on scholarship. The other three guys are walk-ons. So, you know, whenever they either go out there for the first extra point or first field goal, is maybe we'll find out who the kicker is for this team. But another freshman that he mentioned that could be in the – he said he was in the rotation right now, and that was Starkville linebacker Willie Gay. He's in the number two spot, kind of behind Leo Lewis there at the money linebacker, the middle linebacker spot for Mississippi State. So, you know, right now it looks like Willie Gay and Tucker Day have the best chances to play as true freshmen.
Logan, it seems like there's something poetic about Leo Lewis being the money linebacker there at Mississippi State. Hey, tell me about the quarterback out of New Orleans. Is he going to play? Is he going to redshirt?
Well, that's another huge question. Keaton Thompson going into the season as the number two quarterback, but that doesn't mean he's going to play. You know, he's going to play if something happens to Nick Fitzgerald, for sure. Dan Mullen made that quite frankly on Monday. He said that, you know, he's the number two guy. If something happens to Fitzgerald, he's our guy. You know, we're going to immediately turn to him. But, you know, if something happens, you know, and I asked Dan Mullen about this Monday, is, you know, last year, Nick Fitzgerald, his helmet popped off quite a bit last year. And, you know, and Damien Williams had to run out there and play a play or get a series in because Nick Fitzgerald's helmet popped off. You know, he had to leave the field for at least one play. And I questioned Dan Mullen about that Monday, and he tried to joke it off, but, you know, it's a serious question. So I kept, you know, pursuing it. You know, what happens if his helmet pops off? He's got to come off the field. And Dan said, you know, we'll have something in place. You know, we'll figure it out. But, you know, I may even call timeout, you know, to get him back onto the field. So, you know, Keaton, you know, I expect him to play this year. I don't know that they really necessarily want to put him out there as a true freshman. I know, you know, in years past, Dan Mullen's liked to redshirt those guys, but you know, with so many guys transferring out last year at the quarterback spot, you know, that's his other, you know, that's the only other scholarship quarterback on the roster. Now they've got some walk-ons, Logan Burnett, who was in the program last year and redshirted as a freshman, so he's a redshirt freshman, and they've got two junior college transfers, Rip Kirk and Mitch Hood, on the team, you know, who've never played at this level. So, you know, that's their options. And I guess they could stick Gabe Miles or somebody who's played quarterback in high school back there to take a snap if you know, they just need one play before they get Nick Fitzgerald back onto the field. But, you know, it's going to be a mystery to see if Keaton plays or if he doesn't play. You know, Dan Mullen said, you know, they talked about, you know, that rule, you know, that you can play in four games and still redshirt as a freshman, but that rule's not into effect yet. Dan Mullen wishes it was for this situation in and of itself. But, you know, right now that rule's not in effect. So if Keaton plays one play, that redshirt is gone.
Well, it sounds like Dan's going to try and preserve the redshirt for Keaton there, probably with a situation like Ole Miss had last year with Shea Patterson. Hugh Freeze tried to redshirt him, wanted to redshirt him, and would have redshirted him had Chad Kelly not had the ACL tear there in November. Turns out those three starts and that experience for Shea Patterson, I think, are going to be pretty big for Ole Miss going into this season. But it was a situation, I think, with the Rebels last year where they had a guy, they had Jason Peller, and they had somebody who could have closed a game in the short term with a short-term injury to Kelly, but had something happened, and ultimately it did, that was going to require Kelly to miss multiple games. You know, they were going to have to make a decision, and they turned to Shea Patterson. Last year's backup, Jason Pellerin, right now is a tight end, and he'll get some action against South Alabama as a tight end. Logan, I wanted to go through a couple of things looking at Ole Miss, just concerns that they have going into the opener against South Alabama, and then places, areas where the Rebels really expect to play well. And, you know, one of the things I think is a concern is not among the players, but the coaches. You know, coaching staffs turn over. That's just part of what happens. And, you know, and this group has been together now for a spring and a summer and a camp, and there's a lot of good time and chemistry building and learning that goes on then. But you've got 6 out of 9 assistants who were not on staff last year. Remember, Hugh Freeze's staff had very little turnover for 5 years. Then all of a sudden, after 2016, a 5-7 finish, you know, he had major rebuilding. This was before he himself was forced to resign on July 20th. So 6 out of 9 position coaches are new. And something else that's a little bit different that this staff will do. This was a decision from new defensive coordinator Wesley McGriff. All of those full-time defensive assistant coaches will be on the sideline with McGriff during the game. That means they're not going to be in a press box. Their eyes in the sky, so to speak, will be a graduate assistant coach named Zach Brown. Now, Zach might be the second coming of Newt Rotney, but right now he's unproven, and this is a pretty big task that's being given to him. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to go this route for 12 games this year, but that's the way they're going to go against South Alabama Saturday, so it will be interesting to see how that plays out. Wesley McGriff is convinced that his guys will play better if they can look those position coaches in the eyes and make adjustments on the sideline when they need to do that. And so we'll see how this works out for the Rebels against South Alabama. Also, the free safety position. This is something that the Rebels have struggled with, going back through the spring. I mean, they've rotated senior C.J. Hampton and then junior C.J. Moore. Those guys have rotated a lot at free safety. C.J. Moore has emerged as the starter, but when you listen to these coaches talk, they're just not getting the consistency that they want from that position. So they have moved cornerback Jalen Jones over to free safety, and they're really high on Jones at that position right now. I don't think he'll start the game because the move came so late in camp, but I would expect Jalen Jones to play a lot at free safety, and we'll see how that goes. The question right off is, why did it take so long for them to move Jalen Jones over to free safety? But he's there right now, and we'll see how that plays out. They like the depth they have at cornerback, and that allowed them to move Jones over there. Earlier in camp, they tried Ken Webster there. Remember, Webster's coming back from the ACL tear. He's a career cornerback, and they moved him in there and just felt like all of a sudden that he just looked much more natural at cornerback, and so they've moved him back. McGriff calls it getting the right people in the right seat. Another concern is middle linebacker. They're going to start a redshirt freshman there and Dante Evans, and I'm going to group two guys together here right now as players to watch, so to speak. If these guys play well, then it's going to be a good night for the defense. They need Breeland Speaks to play well. They need Dante Evans to play well. Speaks, had a disappointing season in 2016 as a sophomore. They thought he was going to take a big step up and really be a playmaker in the quest to replace Robert Kimdichie there and continue some strong play on the defensive line. Speaks didn't have a good year, lost his starting job the last third of the season, kind of fell off the radar. They really were high on Breeland Speaks throughout the spring and at the end of spring and through the offseason. They even sent him to SEC Media Days, which puts him in the role of team spokesman and ambassador, that kind of thing. Those guys who attend SEC Media Days aren't typically second-team players, but that's where Breeland Speaks was early in camp with the rise of Josiah Coatney, the junior college transfer who sat out last year. Now, is that because Coatney was outstanding or because Speaks has fallen back a little bit? That's something that we really don't know because we're limited in what we see in camp. So we'll see that for the first time against South Alabama. If Breeland Speaks plays well, I think they have a chance to be pretty good on the defensive line. Not sure what they're going to get from Coatney. They like Coatney a lot right now. And the top three interior players who are going to move around a lot are going to be Benito Jones, Breeland Speaks, and Josiah Coatney. So they need solid play from Speaks. They need good play at middle linebacker. That was a position of great angst last year. So many guys moving in and out of that position. If Evans could come in and be a surprise player, that would be a huge lift for this defense. So you watch those guys against South Alabama. If they're having good games, that means the overall defense is too. And this whole unit really needs to improve. So we'll see what they can get done against South Alabama. And the Jaguars are going to come in with a solid run game now. Xavier Johnson, a guy who ran for 830 yards and 10 touchdowns last year, would most certainly be a matchup problem for the Ole Miss defense of last year that gave up just south of 250 rushing yards a game. So, you know, all things are bright, fresh, and new as you start the season. So we'll see if the Rebels are going to take a step forward in their run defense. A couple of other things. Places I think that they're going to play well, high expectations. You know, while most of the concerns are on the defensive side, there are high expectations on offense. And you want to see if Ole Miss can really be as explosive as the Rebels have looked at times. I think they're off to a good start there with Shea Patterson at quarterback. I really like these receivers. You've heard me talk about the receivers quite a bit. They have playmakers there. They have big physical guys with A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf. And, you know, and now they've got Brown in the slot. And you know, that's he can really be a matchup problem there in the middle of the field. Guy to watch here is DeMarcus Lodge. Remember, he was a top five receiver coming out of high school in the 2015 class. He chose not to redshirt. Now he's 2 years into his college career and has only 16 catches because Ole Miss has recruited so well to that position and there have been so many other targets. And there are again this year. Lodge stood out in camp, has become more physical. Keep an eye on DeMarcus Lodge. I think he's going to have a big season. If he plays like he has in camp, he's going to have a big season. Also, watch this run game. There are just several factors that lead me to believe that Ole Miss will be better running the ball this year. One, the offensive line. We're hearing a lot of hype about that offensive line right now. Watch these guys against South Alabama. Have they improved? They have experience. They have good young talent. They're going to be mostly healthy starting out. Doesn't look like they'll have Jordan Sims, but they're going to plug in senior Durante Bolden there at right guard. You know, can these guys be physical? Can they be fast? Do they really understand the new offensive coordinator, Phil Longo? Will they play well? If they do, I think you're going to see an improved running game. That's one component. Then it's the Longo system itself. You know, he described it to us earlier this week as while it is a, quote, air raid offense, a lot of principles that he's taken from Mike Leach, you know, the key to the whole thing, he says, with the passing game and the running game is, in his words, chase space. Get these guys in space. He's not looking for a running game that's going to line up with a fullback and a tight end and mash people. That's not the kind of running game this is. But when they spread people out a little bit, can they make the step quickly? Can they have the right technique, create enough space to get these running backs free? And I think the running backs we're talking about are going to be Jordan Wilkins. They've talked about Devon Penniman a lot. He has emerged as the number two back. But I think if Wilkins gets off to a good start and has the hot hand, they'll stick with him a little longer than they have running backs in the past. In recent seasons under Hugh Freeze, we've seen really usually a three-player running back rotation. When would have seen that last year if they'd been healthy. But go back to 2015, the last year that Wilkins was able to play. You know, at the end of the season, it was three guys. It was Jalen Walton, Akeem Judd, and Jordan Wilkins, and Wilkins was really playing well at the end of 2015. So you put Wilkins back in good shape, strong, healthy, eager, an offensive line with experience and depth, and a new system in Phil Longo. I think these three things will combine, and the Rebels will be able to run the ball. We'll see. Logan, what do you expect from the Bulldogs? Any predictions against Charleston Southern?
Well, it's a game they should win, that's for sure. But, you know, Charleston Southern is a pretty good opponent. I mean, they won their conference last year. They've got 16 starters coming back, including their quarterback. They run kind of an option offense, so that'll be kind of unique. And I asked Todd Grantham, Mississippi State's new defense that this week, and, you know, is that an advantage facing them the first week? You know, you get into a routine throughout the season, you know, scheming against the spread or something, and then – if you have to play an option team that, you know, kind of throws a wrinkle into it, you have to prepare for that offense in 1 week a lot of times. And I really didn't think it was a huge advantage, you know, to playing them first in the season. And, you know, at the same time, you know, Mississippi State should be able to line up and dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, you know, SEC versus, a FCS opponent. You know, you would think that you had better athletes on that side of the ball. But, yeah, I think Mississippi State learned a lot from last year's opener. You got to watch out for those Jaguars, Parrish, this weekend, because they will come in there and win a game unexpectedly. But, you know, they learned a lot from that game last year, that you can't take anybody lightly. Mississippi State.
And you can't wear shorts, Logan. You can't coach in shorts. Are they going to do that again?
I don't know. You know, I wouldn't put it past Mullen to do it again. He's all about comfort. But anyway, you know, it just, you know, they just took their foot off the gas in that game last year. You know, they had a decent lead at halftime. And next thing you know, Jaguars scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, one of them with less than a minute to go. And, you know, even with that, Mississippi State didn't look, they panicked. They moved the ball right down the field, set up for a chip shot field goal, and just missed it. You know, it's so much of a different team now. You know, they were unsettled at quarterback going into that game last year. They know definitely who their number one quarterback is going into this year, and they know who their starting tailback is. Harris Williams really came on and ran the ball strong late in the year last year. I think he's going to add a dynamic where Nick Fitzgerald's maybe not going to have to run as much this season. They talked about improving his passing, and I know they want to improve on that 54% passing completion. You know, they wanted to at least get it up to 60 this year. But, you know, for the wide receivers, they're going to have to replace Fred Ross. And Donald Gray is kind of their number one wide receiver, and they need some of those other guys to kind of help fill in. And Mullen talked about the offense being at its best when they have multiple targets out there, not just one guy that's they're going to every single time. You know, they like to spread the ball around and get guys in space. And the tight end has a lot to do with that as well. They were really young at the tight end position last year. They've got some experience back now for Rod Green, Jordan Wilkins, Justin Johnson. They feel really good about all three of those guys in the passing game, especially Jordan Thomas. He's a huge guy, 6'5", about 280. I mean, he could be a weapon for him and runs like a wide receiver at that size. So, you know, he's been inconsistent at times. He makes some spectacular plays, but it's the simple plays that they're having trouble with. So if he can just be more consistent, he could be a huge weapon for them. And then on the opposite side of the ball, a new defense. You know, they couldn't go anywhere but up. I mean, Mississippi State's defense was a lot like Ole Miss's last year. It was just bad. You know, there's really no way to put it around there. They just were a bad team, you know. I know Ole Miss struggled against the run. Mississippi State struggled against the run at times, but their problem was against the pass. You know, they were really young in the secondary. And, you know, this new defense under Todd Grantham, has really done a good job against stopping the run in the pass and getting after the quarterback. And we'll have to see. They're going to stick with that 3-4 defense, but we'll have to see if that translates to Mississippi State's defense this year, how quickly they can pick up his scheme. But in all accounts, from what I've been able to gather from people in practice, the players love this new defense. And, you know, they were out of position so many times last year. You know, you got a veteran coordinator calling the plays now, and I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think they're going to be in the right play, you know, right play call against the offense, and I think they're going to be there to make some tackles. And I'm interested to see what they do on that side of the ball this year.
Hey, folks, I got just a few Ole Miss predictions before we get out of here. And we got an interview coming up with South Alabama defensive coordinator Kane Womack. You want to listen to that as well, the son of former Ole Miss defensive coordinator Dave Womack. But looking at the Rebels, I'm going to say there is some improvement defensively, still some issues and some ground they have to cover there. I say Dante Evans has 6 tackles and a forced fumble, but the Jaguars are going to score some points. Ole Miss is going to win 31-24. I'm looking for Jordan Wilkins to have 85 yards and a touchdown and at least three receivers with at least 50 receiving yards. So we'll see if all those predictions come true. We're going to listen now to South Alabama defensive coordinator Kane Womack. Obviously, a lot of change at Ole Miss, but you still have a lot of connections to this staff. What do you remember about 2012 and 2013?
Well, I mean, I think I told somebody the other day, I mean, I was really proud of the work that we did. You know, you worked so hard to build a program, and very proud of what we were able to accomplish in those first 2 years. And disappointing to see it end the way it did, but at the same time, you feel for the guys that are still on staff that that you came to work with every day, and that we really did create a family environment and atmosphere. And my hope is that those guys land on their feet and do well and are very successful outside of that first game of the season. And so I do have very fond memories, which that part will be pretty nostalgic coming back on Saturday.
Now, what were your responsibilities? Didn't you coach defensive backs? Is that what I recall?
I was a graduate assistant, but my dad was fortunate. I was fortunate enough to get to coach a position, the nickel Husky position. And I had two pretty talented guys, and Mike Hilton and Tony Connor playing that for me. So I was I don't know how much coaching I was really having to do, other than just clapping and supporting them and all the plays they made.
Well, you know, support is a big part of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, what do you take from those seasons? I mean, there's still some familiarity. I mean, what can help you prepare this week?
Well, you know, I'm not sure how much from a schematic standpoint that my experiences there will help me, just because the people that make those decisions now schematically have all changed. What I do think does help more is just the experiences that I had at Ole Miss. We had some very tight games. We had some close games. We played in a lot of big environments, and I've tried to do a lot to create that picture for our players of what that environment's going to be like. And, you know, that's the beauty of winning a game like Mississippi State last season. Our kids have absolutely no fear going into a stadium like this. They are very confident in what their abilities are, and in year two of our defense, they're playing at a completely different level right now, which is really exciting for us.
I want to come back to that game in just a minute, but tell me, your dad's no longer on staff at Ole Miss now. Does that mean anything? Does that motivate you in any way? I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, he had told me 3 years ago that this past year was going to be his last season, and so I knew he was retiring before we would ever end up playing them, because I knew we were going to play Ole Miss this season. And so, you know, when it comes to getting the chance to play him and all that stuff, you know, it would have been fun to do. At the same time, I knew that was not going to happen. So I tell you, though, I am excited for him, because he's waited for so long to have a fall to where he gets to enjoy a little bit of life. And I think he's going to come down to quite a few of our games, and I think he's planning on being at the Ole Miss game with South Alabama gear on for sure. So, but at the same time, he's getting to do some things like go up to Boston with my mom and see the fall foliage and things like, you know, that you never get a chance to do as a football coach. You don't even think about being able to do those things. And so that watching him step into the next part of his life is really fun.
Now, are they still over there in the neighborhood off of 6 as I'm going toward Oxford? Because I know that he and I talked a lot about building that house, and I know he was excited about that.
Oh, man, he's you know, he's got little projects all over the place, and he just, you know, I mean, he's getting to do all the things that he's just waited to do for a while. And so, you know, he's out there on that Bass Lake quite a bit, too. So.
I'm sure he is. Looking back at that Mississippi State game last year, they had 382 yards. Y'all hold them out of the end zone in the second half. But just, what did you think of your defense in your first game as coordinator?
Probably the thing I was most proud of is there. You know, we were down 17-0 in the first half of that game, and we had spent so much time talking about the composure and the mentality that we play with in defense, and just playing one snap at a time. And regardless of what just happened the play before, whether we did well or they did well, you go to the next play, and our guys really bought into that mentality from day one. And then at that point, when you win a game like that, the culture is almost already established. I mean, it's instant credibility from the things that you're preaching day in and day out. And you know, I told our guys, I mean, you know, Mississippi State was a very talented team, but at that point, you know, we were probably just as talented defensively as they were offensively. This year, we're a great deal better than what we were a year ago, but you're also playing a very talented team in Ole Miss. And so that they're going to make some plays in this football game. They have a talented quarterback. They've got great receivers. They have experience on the offensive line. They're going to make some plays. How do we stay focused on doing our job over and over and over again? And I think that's what our guys are prepared to do.
I hear you guys, as a coaching staff, are going to wear shorts in this game. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to wear athletic shorts and flip-flops for this one, see how that turns out.
Oh, my. Look, you say you guys are a lot better. How are y'all better than you were a year ago?
Well, our understanding of what we're trying to do defensively, we spend very little time coaching our defense anymore. Most of our time is spent on what does an offense do fundamentally, what do they do schematically, and how do we adjust our defense to take our weaknesses and turn them into strengths because we're aware of those things. And so from a schematic standpoint, I think the mental fortitude or whatever you want to say of our players is a lot greater than what it was a year ago. And then physically, you know, we had an all-conference safety in Jeremy Reeves last year that played at 182 pounds, and our other starting safety was 174 pounds. Well, both those guys are back as seniors now. One of them is 208, and the other one's 195. So just our bodies are a lot different. And then probably the biggest thing on our entire team is the depth of our defensive line. You know, last year we walked into the first game of the season against Mississippi State and all four of our starters were already gone. We lost 9 defensive linemen throughout the entirety of a season last year. Now we're about 3 deep across the board that deserve to roll into a football game. And so when you can do that, it's going to pay dividends in those later rounds of a game and hopefully the later rounds of a season as well.
What did you want to achieve with these guys in camp?
Well, I think we wanted to build a culture of physically and mentally tough people. And that, I think, is what we've accomplished. They're a violent group. They play tough, and they play hard and physical and a little bit nasty. And we've created that mentality of play a little bit in people's faces, and I think that's something that hopefully we will carry into that first game. And they have to play smart when they do that because our goal is to rile up the other team a little bit but also stay focused in our responsibilities and our job as well. And so building that culture takes practice and it takes work, and I think we've accomplished that going into this first one.
What do you guys base out of?
Well, you're going to see a similar system. I mean, it's the Dave Wyman 4-2-5 system, but at the same time, you know, we've made little tweaks and adjustments here and there to fit our personnel, which is, you know, if you look back in my dad's career, that's what he's always been able to do is find creative ways to put his playmakers in space. And so, you know, you look back on that 2014 season and there were some good players on that defense, but in the last 5 years on Ole Miss, you've only had 2 players, I think, that were drafted in 5 years on that defense. And so what he was able to do in those 5 years was find creative ways to put a few key playmakers in space.
Kane, what do you think about having been through it one time? What's the Sun Belt like? What is Sun Belt football like?
You know, it is a league that has vastly improved probably from the years that even my dad was at Arkansas State. You know, the top of the league has gotten so much better. The bottom of the league is better than what it once was. There's still some significant differences from team to team. But this is a league of a lot of good coaches, some of them young, some of them pretty experienced. And so from week to week, what I found last season is if you don't have the right mentality, if your players don't carry that right mentality, you can win any of these games and lose any of those games. And that's probably college football in general, but very similar to what you see in the SEC. You know, speaking for us personally, I think I was probably surprised when I got down here of the talent level that we're actually able to bring in here to South Alabama. I didn't realize how good of players that we could get at a place like this. You realize how special this place is when you see the talent level here.
When you see a score like you guys upsetting or winning against Mississippi State last year, the tendency for a lot of people is to think, well, the SEC team overlooked that game, overlooked the opponent. Was Was there some of that there last year, or was it just really matching and surpassing the intensity level along the way?
You know, it's probably hard for me to say that just because when you're playing the first game of the season, you don't really know what that other team is. And so you go in there and you see Mississippi State, and that's probably a Dan Mullen question more than it is for me. But
yeah,
when you watch them, you know, they're obviously play the first game of the season. They're all ready to play at that point. I'm not sure if you know, whether they're playing you know, one team to a group of five team makes that big of a difference when you play at the beginning of the season. I do know, I think our conditioning and our effort in the third and fourth quarter was probably what overwhelmed them in that game. And so that's the thing that we get a natural luxury of down here in preparing for that first one is our bodies are very well conditioned because of the conditions that we practice in every single afternoon. And so our kids will be really enjoying that break whenever we get to North Mississippi, if I can say that from a weather standpoint.
I told somebody the other day that Ole Miss can bring a lot of teams into Vaught-Hemingway and say, well, you know, the humidity is going to wear them down. But that's not the case with this opponent. Hey, man, just one more question, Kane. Offensively, what do you see in Ole Miss? I mean, what concerns you? What do you see? What do you think of that side of the ball?
Well, I think probably the two things that jump off the page first is the arm talent and the accuracy of Shea Patterson. And then secondly, the ability to create big plays from their wide receiver core. You know, they do have an experienced group of offensive linemen that I think are very confident in what they're doing schematically, even though I'm sure they've changed a few things. I imagine most of the things will be the same from what they did a year ago. And then, you know, that to me is what this game, in my mind, will come down to us for defensively. We've got to do a great job of tackling because you see what that offense schematically and what Phil Longo did at Sam Houston State, and then you see what Ole Miss did last season. They are a big play offense. They can create big plays and explosives at pretty much every level of the field, and if you don't tackle well, if you don't get those guys on the ground before they get going, I think they can make some big plays on the perimeter, and then they can with some big backs out of the backfield as well.
Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast with Chris Kiefer and Derek Russell, coming to you every Wednesday and Friday. And check out Prep Rally every Wednesday with Dalton Middleton, all your high school sports needs there. And Logan and I will be back with you next week for another edition of Double Coverage.